Number 8, the Hall of Famer, joins us to talk a little Packers and Niners. What's going on, Steve?
What do you say, boys?
Hey.
Man, just...
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be chilly. I wanted to ask you about that. And I know we've talked about the snow game, and James Wilder's name comes up prominently in that game because you wanted to have one complete pass. I don't know how cold it was in that game. And
It wasn't bitter. You know, high 20s, mid-20s. I mean, the cold wasn't the problem. It was cold. It was the wind. I mean, it was a blizzard, so it was windy.
Yeah.
And that's what – right now I'm just looking at updated weather, and there's a little front coming through that's going to raise the temperature to 22 while that brings some snow. And then once that rolls through in the afternoon, then it's just going to plummet. So there's wind in the day, which you don't want at 22. Is that, you know, or do you want no wind in 2? So I don't know. They're going to be one or the other. But
what would you want?
The wind is a pain. Wind is a pain. The cold is painful. But I just, especially with the footballs that they have today, where they can, I think we've talked about this a lot around 2006, changing the ability for quarterbacks to take control of their footballs, where they could make them however they wanted to. And that just changed the game for quarterbacks. I mean, I've told you guys many times, Troy Aikman, myself, others, just like, Half of the anxiety of playing was bringing out the brand new footballs with the orange preserver. We talked about that a thousand times a year.
Yeah.
First quarter, you look at your hand. And you know, if you ever saw us play and we come to the sidelines of the first quarter, you go, let me see your throwing hand. It'll be orange. Like, you know, that's just great. That's slick. You talk about slick as ice. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But with the footballs the way they are now, the cold isn't as big a deal. It's, you know, it's dry, and so it's a little tougher, but they're just grip and rip right now. So the wind's a pain more than the cold.
So let's assume that it's around, it's going to be probably high single digits, 8-9. So it'll be cold, but it's not going to be debilitating. You'll be able to kind of function as long as the wind kind of stays down. When you hear Jimmy talking about the thumb and the shoulder, and he talks about the shoulder affecting pretty much every throw because it's, well, your shoulder. Are there throws, Rod mentioned this earlier, are there throws that are tougher to throw, or the deeper throws tougher to throw, or is it just you got to find a way to find that slot and just, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, it's like a golf swing. Okay, let me do this a little bit. Let me do that a little bit. Let me adjust a little bit. You just have to adjust to what you have that day. I'm assuming that's what he's talking about. I got to figure out how to throw with this and make it work. How difficult is that?
You know, a bruised shoulder is like wide range of issues.
Yeah.
I mean, a bruised shoulder can be like, it just hurts to move, like just to move it. Or, hey, you know what, it feels pretty good. And once I get warmed up and shot it, shoot it up, I'll be fine. So it's like, it's hard to know. But if it's hurting, if you've got a shot in you and you're trying to throw the football and the cold doesn't help, by the way, and it still hurts to throw, like, you know, you're warming up and you're like, dang, it hurts. That's when there's a problem, because then now it's in your head. Not because your psychological head, in your functional head. In other words, I got to go throw a ball, and you go to throw it, and you can't throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain just, you know, and so that's the hard part. And it just depends. I mean, it could be a huge problem, or it could be something that doesn't really bother you, and no big deal. It's just, he knows. I mean, you know, I guess the trainers would kind of have a sense of what he says, but only he knows how bad it is.
Yeah. I got to let you know before I forget. Brent Jones didn't know how wide a football field was. Steve Kerr didn't know how wide a basketball court was. To my point, nobody knows.
That's heartwarming. Heartwarming.
There you go. Okay. We can move on now. I just want to let you know.
The ignorance of others is heartwarming. I love it.
Steve, you know, Rodgers right now is, I was looking at the numbers, last 7 games, Steve, he's got 20 touchdowns, no picks. And I just thought you're a perfect person to ask this question. I mean, I thought 94 and beyond, you were super locked in. So when you were at that point, when you were your most locked in state as a starting quarterback, what at that point would disrupt your rhythm? Was it pressure in your face, stunting that crosses the quarterback's face? I mean, different looks pre-snap than post-snap. What is there anything that can be done to confuse Rodgers or to disrupt his rhythm?
That's actually a great question, Larry. And if you think about it, What's the only thing that gets to Tom Brady? It's when people are in his face.
Pressure up the middle.
You can't do your job.
Yeah.
And especially if you can't move. So, I mean, that's what I talk about the Packers. It's a nightmare. Gilbert Brown just eating up space and Reggie White spinning around inside. You're like, you just back in your face, back in your face. And so when you're locked in, you really, it doesn't matter how locked in you are. You can't do your job with people in your, in, you know, in your kitchen. So that's the hardest part. And the thing that we got to, and I'm sorry if I have to be, you know, go over this again, but Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady are going to be the MVP of the league. They are by far the most dominant two players in the league. One is 44 and one is 37. And you tell me that the game has not significantly changed. And why are they so locked in and capable of doing this? Because the game has gotten safer, especially for quarterbacks. And so he grew up in an era when it wasn't as easy. It was difficult. It was challenging. I mean, it's always hard. I'm not saying, don't freak out and say, oh, Steve thinks it's easy to play NFL football. No, it's tough. It takes every inch of you. What I'm saying is the rules have changed and changed the game. And so guys like Tom and Aaron, 20 touchdowns and no interceptions, and like, you just, that doesn't happen. Like, sooner or later, someone bounces off a helmet or something.
Right.
And so it just tells you that the game is dominated right now by the guys who learned in a tougher environment and now get to take advantage of what I'd call a less tough environment. And because it's so safe, they can do it at an older age. And so that's the full wisdom of who they are and what they have. Usually, you know, how many guys have I talked to through the years that, Steve, right when I figured it out, I got cut. Right when I figured it out, I lost my job. Right when I finally got it all put together, you know, and usually, even when you had a great career, it's age that stops the, you know, my best years, you know, kind of wisdom, quarterback wisdom, are right at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so great for these guys. It's extended even further, where the wisdom is not just hanging on, it's now a dominant force. And so I, again, not jealous, but just, you know, facts are facts, and you give me a stat like 20 and 0, and I got a comment. I can't let it sit.
Understandably so. KNBR FM San Francisco, a Cumulus Media station. It is our weekly conversation with Steve Young, and this time of year, conversation is always good, but this time of year with Steve's, of course, his knowledge and his playing against the Cowboys, as we talked about last week, and the battles against the Packers, no better time to have Steve on. So, Steve, I'll just ask you a simple question with, I'm sure, a very complicated answer. How do the Niners win this game on Saturday?
Well, playoff football, especially as you move on, becomes a test of the things that you can guarantee, the things that you don't have to hope for. Oh, I hope we can run the ball, or I hope that we can pass protect, right? You better be able to lock it down and guarantee it, because it's going to get tested in a way that hasn't been all year long. And so do we say that running game for the 49ers is locked in? Like, it's going to – we're going to – because I don't know that the run defense for the Packers is, like, that big of a deal as maybe it would be in Tampa. So, you know, I think that that's one thing when we go into a playoff game and go, we're going to run the football. Mm-hmm. And if we run the football, we tend to cause grief. Everybody causes grief. Jimmy causes grief. The defense seems to rise up. Like, running the football for whatever reason and explosive runs, and especially when you can see the defense is just, they don't know what's coming. You can see it. They're like, they're like lost and spinning around. And that's what you saw last week. And when they get that running game going, that's when you know that the game's on. And then Aaron Rodgers is going to be, is he going to have a hiccup? Is it going to be 20-0, now 24-0? Or is he going to be 22-2? You know, if he has a game like that and we're running the football in the cold, a couple turnovers, yes. The answer to that is yes. Now, if we're not running the football and we have to play from behind, that's not our game. And they expose our corners, and, you know, that's not our game. Mm. But yet, that has not happened in the last month.
Boy, I mean, you'd like to think maybe you get a couple turnovers, but they just don't turn the ball over, and they specifically don't turn over at home. And that's,
he doesn't fumble. They don't do interceptions. Yep. I mean, so if you have a clean game from the Packers – And let's say an average or above average game from Aaron Rodgers, then you better have 150 to 170 yards rushing.
Yeah,
just tell me that's what happens, and then I'm gonna say, well, that must have been a heck of a game.
Right? It's funny because we talk so much about Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so. I mean, he is incredible, but they have two guys in Dylan and Jones that could run the ball. And if you don't stop the run and they're able to be multidimensional, then it almost seems like it's lights out against that offense. Like, you're going to have to put up 20, minimum 24, probably 27, 30 points to win the football game if you don't stop the run. Now, the Niners have done a great job at stopping the run, but everybody wants to be balanced, right? But when you have a great quarterback like that and you're able to run the ball, and then your third downs are 4 and 5 yards and you can run the play action, then it just seems like, okay, now we're in for a shootout and we got to hope for the best. And that's really not the 49ers game.
And see, Aaron Rodgers, that's the thing that he's been getting better and better at, is using every inch of the field. Tom Brady told, you remember he said, the flats are open, middle field's not patrolled.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of guys can handle, well, I got the flats, I got the middle field, but do you have the deep ball? Do you have the back shoulder ball? Do you have the accuracy? I mean, it's like Aaron Rodgers has got everything. And so you hope that he's off a little bit, because otherwise he has been getting, the best Aaron Rodgers I've ever seen is probably in the last month. You know, that's a heck of a thing to say about someone who's,
Multiple MVPs usually, and all that kind of stuff. His best football is coming, as you said, in his high 30s.
Yeah. Do I need to tell you again about the change in the league?
No,
yeah,
no.
Please tell us about it, Steve. I want to hear about it.
In more detail this time.
Steve longingly looking out into space as he's talking about it.
Maybe. Well, I don't know if you'd heard.
How many times have you told Barb about that? Like about 20? Barb, I'll tell you what.
She would not. She would give me 5 seconds and just like give me a hand. Like, oh, I don't care. I don't care.
I got to say, Steve, hoping that Aaron Rodgers is off a little bit isn't much of a game plan.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But I'm assuming Aaron plays well. Like, I'm not saying the only chance we have is if he plays poorly. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that our game and the test of our defense is different than it was in early November, in October. Like, mm-hmm. And this team is a different team. The grit that we made, not light of, but we did a little bit, right around, I want to say, right before Halloween, we were kind of like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've through the rigor of the season, created a grittiness that you can see now as they come out of the locker room. There's a confidence that they, as a group, like, we got this. Mm-hmm. And I think they've grown into it. They've earned every inch of it. And that's going to be a tough out. I don't see the 49ers giving an inch. And so if they get beat by Aaron Rodgers playing super, super great, then okay, that's fine. But I still think that anybody who's going to play the 49ers today knows they're going to be tough out, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah,
you know, it was the conversation between you and Jerry that you shared with us that I don't want to say it's been their rallying cry behind the scenes, but I've heard an awful lot of mentions about this.
Good.
You know, by Jimmy and others. Man, our defense has some real dogs. It's like, I gotta think, Steve, that was a direct reference to your comment,
right,
or to Jerry's
care.
Comment, really.
Yeah, but we care. I mean, we have a tough time communicating with them, but it's like when something's not right, when the things that we have had, all the greatness through the years is really coming out in the locker room, the self-policing, the guys that take care of business, that don't need a speech from a coach, don't need the owner to come in and give them some kind of incentive, like, we've got this. Those locker rooms that we've had through the years, when we have that, we had it in spades in 19, and I just feel like I don't know if I've seen a faster climb in that kind of a way in a season than what the 49er locker room has done this year. And it's been awesome. And I'm ecstatic about it.
Steve, after the game on Sunday, George Kittle talked about how he and this group of Niners, they're standing on the shoulders of giants. Talking about specifically you guys that made the Niners a household name franchise-wise and brought, you know, so much glory to the organization. And we've been talking about that because, obviously, you know, these guys who are playing right now, none of them remember Niners Cowboys, Niners Packers back in the day. But as Kittle mentioned, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, right when they got here, they made it a point to get these young cats up to speed on the good old days. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because not that that's something you or Jerry or Brent or any of the other guys,
right,
you know, something you guys demand. But it clearly has a great amount of import and is something that is looked on as, we're glad we got this history lesson because it means a lot.
So I remember, and I'm sorry if I told you this story before, I was in Pittsburgh for a Monday night game, doing it for ESPN, maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 years, I can't remember. And they were honoring a new Ring of Honor defensive player, you know, maybe, I don't know who it was. It might have been one of the greats. And so all the
they
greats
had so many, yeah.
Yeah, and all the greats were back, right? And all the greats were from the 70s and the 80s. And so it hit me that, and I remember at the time, the Pittsburgh defense was not that good. Middle of the road. But it was a rallying cry in town. It was like, we play great defense, even though they weren't. It's like who we are. It's our identity. It's who we. It's how we roll. And you can draw on that. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking about the 49ers. It's not about the guys who played back then. It was about what you can draw on today as an example to kind of hold you to model so that you have a reason. And there's so few teams. Pittsburgh. Dallas, there's a few teams that have this now. The Patriots now have it for sure into future generations. And so you can draw on it, and if you don't, it's wasted. So when Kyle and John did that, it's smart because it actually connects and makes a reason. Half the problem with football is that you have to go run into people. How many human beings love to go ram other people? It's not natural. So even if you're paid a lot of money, what Brian Lama said, no one doesn't matter what you're paid when you're actually in the moment of impact. No one cares. Like you just have to. You have to have a deep desire to go out there and struggle for each other and all that stuff that we talk about all the time. And so when you can draw on things to give guys a reason, like I'm a Niner and this is what it means and this is I got to hold myself accountable and leaders in the locker room can use it, it's just wasted if you don't because it's so powerful and meaningful. And I've seen it work in other places and I see it in spades here in the last 4 or 5 years.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
How does this rivalry compare to the Cowboy rivalry for you?
It's a little different. This one is more like playing your brother. You know, we had Mike Holmgren. There was times in the middle 90s and late 90s where it was exact same offense. Nothing was changed. Brett would call Fox 2 XY hook. I could, and I've said this before, I could go over to and put on a Green Bay jersey and go play for the Packers in 5 seconds. Just come and play and go run it. We did the exact same things. We were trading coaches back and forth. Steve Mariucci and Marty Morningwake came back from Green Bay to come coach us. And so it became incestual in a way. And that way it was personal. When Terrell caught the ball to win the playoff game, it ended the run of the Packers. Mike Holmgren went to Seattle. I think Ron Wolf left. Everything kind of changed after that. So that was the final blow. But until then, it was always personal and always, you know, like you knew each other so well, and it was frustrating. Like Brett beat us 1 year on sprint right option. You know, like, oh, that's the same ball that Joe threw to Dwight Clark against the Cowboys. Like, you can't beat us in a playoff game with sprint right option. That's not cool. And
that's awesome.
So in that way, it's more personal, but the Cowboy one was more, look, it's the Super Bowl, and we're just waiting for it. And it was, you know, when I'm torn, you know, when I'm in a, you know, if you think about the most difficult, painful moments of my life, I think about the Cowboys.
Hey, you mentioned the throw to T.O., which, by the way, almost never happened because you're on your backside there for about a split second, and you managed to recover.
Chris Dolman stepped on my foot.
But
Tom? That's why it worked. I swear to you, I really believe that the two safeties, Sharper and Leroy, because I disappeared. Yep. I think they didn't know. It's like, what happened? And then also I reappeared. It was too late. Like, I think there was something to the idiot savant move of almost going down that helped that play.
Would you consider that under the circumstances, that all things considered, that's the best throw you've ever made?
Yeah. It was a tough. That's a throw you don't want to try to make every day. So, but I always said, I remember yelling out to Mucha. I came off the field. I go, tail's open. I mean, it wasn't like I was like, oh, miracle, Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. No, he was open, and I threw him open. And that was – there was a scene, there was a moment there where that was a throw. So, yeah, I guess in all the years, that's – there's been some throws I threw blind. Like, I felt like where I knew Jerry was or Brent, and I kind of let it go on faith. That I really relish, because those are the ones you're like, oh my, I can't believe I did that. Like, who throw? You usually have to wait to see somebody. He's like, no, I know where he is. Just let it go. Yeah. And those are pretty cool. But that one was good.
Well, the great thing about that one too is, and I mentioned this a couple days ago. I don't know, I'm mentioning it twice now, and it wasn't even that good a movie. But Independence Day, at the very end, when they're flying that spaceship out of the massive space structure, they got to go, and the walls are closing, and they just make it out as the walls close. And it always, when I saw that movie, I immediately kind of thought of that catch, because all the walls were closing. Four guys were coming together, yep. And it was just like a split second. Somebody was going to get it. It was going to ricochet off the wall, and the game's over. But it just zipped through there as everybody was closing in, converging on T.O., and he almost had no choice but to catch the ball, because it caught him as much as he caught the ball. And then he took a massive wallop and held on to the ball. It was just, I'm just wondering from your point of view, when you saw it, did you see, was it in slow motion? Did it happen really fast? Was it like, oh my gosh, I hope this makes it through. And then all of a sudden it did. Hope he caught it. He did catch it. I'm just curious, as you release the ball, from the point you release the ball till T.O. has it on the ground, you know it's a touchdown, what your thoughts were.
I think my reaction was, it was like there was a spot, there was an opening, and it had to be, you know, obviously it had to be just right. But it was, and from my vantage point, it was open the whole way. Now, did I see all of it closing in immediately? Like, you know, any throw in the NFL is not going to be like wide open. So, but yeah, no, I think that. And then T.O., he always, throughout the game, you remember he fumbled and he dropped a couple. And it's like, he kept coming to me like, Steve, got to believe in me. You got to believe in me. And I have told you this before. I go to T.O., you're 6'3", 230, the strongest Nats guy I know. Trust me, you're getting the ball, bro. Don't worry about it. Like, don't panic. It's coming. And I remember, and tears in his eyes afterwards, just weeping, just saying, thanks for believing in me. Thanks for trusting me. Thanks for, like, bro, I told you. You know, there's only, you know, too many guys that can go in there and take that hit and do that, you know, so. It's connected us for a lot, you know, for life. It's cool. Yeah. It's really a lot of fun to think about. Now, you know, do you want to belabor some of the losses? That'd be fun too.
No, that's okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
He got sandwiched, man. Sandwiched big time on that play. Steve, I'll tell you last week I really liked the Niners against Dallas, and I just liked the matchup. This week I can see, you know, you can see how difficult this task is going to be, because Green Bay's got so many factors and they don't beat themselves, and Rodgers is a Hall of Famer at the top of his game. But I still think that the 49ers are going to go in there. I think their defensive line is going to set the tone. And I just think that, and I want your thoughts on these two guys, the Niners had two of the top four rushers in football last weekend. It was Mitchell had 96 and Debo had 72. And they're just so unique, Steve. I mean, Mitchell is like such a kid, but he's got such a veteran style, and he reads things so quickly, and he's so courageous between the tackles. He's so good. And then Debo is a totally different style as a wide receiver, but equally or maybe even more dynamic. And I just think they're going to rule the day on Saturday. Give me your thoughts on those two guys and their running style, because it's unique to have two guys like this.
Well, first of all, just to go backwards just for a second, did you not see something wrong with the Cowboys? I told you, something's not right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they're not put together. All that stuff in the locker, all that stuff owning the locker, I just never see it from them. Never. It's like, and ever since Troy and Emmett and Michael left, it's just not, they can't get it together. I don't know what, I mean, it's crazy. You always get less than you think. And that's why I think we were able to say that last week. And then here it is. I will say for the 49ers, when you go to Dallas and win a big, huge playoff game, you grow. And now they got to go in the cold, and I think there's a grittiness, and we talked about this before, their locker room, but there's something about how that, as a players, that you can, it coalesces and strengthens. And so, to your point, Larry, if that's the team that shows up, and you see it early, where they're running the football, they're dominant. The defensive line is not giving an inch. You say to yourself, you're right, it's game on, and Aaron's going to have to figure out what he's tried to do in the past and failed, and what he's tried to do in the past and succeeded, you know, rarely. Mm. Like, this 49er team is suddenly, in my mind, like, you know, you can make a case the team to beat because of who they've become. And it's not necessarily, certain superstars or anything else. It's just that's how tough-minded they are. And if they're running the football in explosive kind of 10-yard runs here and there, the way that Kyle does it sets up so well for Jimmy, so that there's like then that job for him is so much better because he's coming off play action and throw it to George is open, throw it to Debo, he's open, and that game gets that's when they get humming. Yeah. and you can feel it, you can feel it right away now. If it gets cold and windy and all of a sudden they feel they're disjointed and just it's you know and they've only had 6 days and they had to travel early and Jimmy's hurt, then that's just a whole different story. But there's a lot of reason to think that they can go in there and beat the Packers, I think.
Yeah. The Niners have that connectivity, that connective tissue that has served them well, and clearly the Cowboys didn't have. This is the portion of our conversation with Steve where, in conjunction with the Forever Young Foundation, we honor and spotlight a Bay Area hero as the Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. This week, we salute Peninsula Bridge. Peninsula Bridge provides motivated, low-income students with academic and personal support from fourth grade through college education. They're helping to break the cycle of poverty and greatly increase each student's chance for success in school, life, and career. And it's also working to empower a new generation of employees, entrepreneurs, and leaders from diverse backgrounds. So today we salute heartily Peninsula Bridge as our Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. To check out all of the Forever Young heroes, go to KMBR.com/Forever Young. Steve, once again, thank you. Another great organization doing great things, because quality education should be accessible to all, no matter your socioeconomic background. It's not always that way. It's good to know that there are people like Peninsula Bridge who are trying to, bridge that gap, pardon the pun.
Level the playing field.
Yes, sir.
Right? Absolutely. Nobody needs a leg up. They just need to level it up. Let me compete.
Yes, sir.
Give me a shot. Put me in, coach. These are the kind of people that are making the difference on the ground. So good for them.
What did you think of that Cowboy fiasco? I saw you guys sort of walking through the paces on the pregame show before the playoff game on Monday. Tell us what you thought and how they got it wrong.
So you're at the 40, and they've done a nice job to get it there with not much time and not many timeouts. So I like, look, you're at the 40. Don't get greedy. From the 40, you got two shots at it. You got PI, you got a lot of things that can go on. Take two shots at it. You're not going to take 14 seconds on a play. Even if he scrambles around and throws, it's not going to be 14 seconds. But everybody knows that if you put the ball in play on a normal play, 14 seconds is tight. Like, it's 17 is like where you 16, 17. You have 16, 17 seconds, you're like, we're good. We can run a play and we get up and clock it. 14, no. Like, it's going to be tight. And so, as he starts to run, okay, we want to try to get it closer. We're going to trade two shots from the 40 for one shot from the 30 or 25. That's what we're going to do. Okay, fine. We can argue that. I think it's not worth it, but okay, we're going to do it. So then he starts to run, and in his mind has got to be, it's 14. 14's tight, bro. Like, don't go for the extra 5 yards.
Right.
And if you get the extra 5 yards, when you stand up, you better find the umpire because he's got to put the ball in play. And, like, they don't do any of that. They run to the hash, which they should, and then they act like they're going to put the ball in play themselves. And it's like, looking at the center, like, snap it. And the center's like, I can't. And then all of a sudden the guy's trying to help him come through the line of scrimmage to try to get there and finally puts it in play. It's too late. It's like the game is on the line. You got one shot, and you don't do it? So that's why I was disappointed in Dak after the game when he was, saying, oh, they threw water bottles at the officials, and he kind of said, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate Dak the next day, was it yesterday?
Yes.
Tweeted out and said, look, I apologize. I really admire Dak for doing that. That's the right thing to do. We all make mistakes in the heat of the moment. We say things that we shouldn't. But the fact that Dak next day fixed it, that's all you can ask in life, is, you know what, I screwed it up, and I want to fix it. And I really appreciate him doing it. It says a lot about who he is. But he has to own that one. I mean, everyone, if you don't know how to get the ball back into play, then, you know, that's Harry High School, bro. You can't do that.
I'm sure you enjoyed the leaving the punt team out after getting a fake punt completion and getting a first down. They just left their punt team out there just to kind of loiter.
There's so many things that happened that day from the Cowboys' perspective. You know, instead of taking, you know, rounding the corner, as how I would describe it, you square everything off. You know, everything's harder. Everything's not as smart. You're like, after a full year game of it, you're like, oh my gosh, these guys are just, they make it as difficult as they possibly can. Yep. And they don't get the ball to the guys that, like in space, in today's game, look what they do with Debo. Let's light them up in the eye. Like, well, we're going to get our great players. They play receiver, slot, tight end. Our great players are going to get the ball. The game is such that you can do that today. They have great players. They don't give them the ball. Like, get them in space. Figure out a way. You know, jet sweep, all this stuff that Kyle does. Just look at the 49ers tape and run that. Like, come on, man. But these guys struggle to get Mari Cooper the ball. Such talent. You know, CeeDee Lamb. Like, these guys are super talented. And they wait and wait and wait to get him the ball. Like, get it out of the huddle. Just make sure it happens. And they don't get it done.
Before we let you go, since you were there, I wanted to ask you about the Rams. They look like a whole different animal with the healthy Cam Akers, don't they?
Yes, and I think, you know, I talked to Matthew last week over Zoom, and I was kind of hard on him, you know, because I think he's that good. And I told him I thought he was that good. But I also told him, bro, whirling dervish in the end zone like Kyler Murray and then throwing it in someone's chest for six. No.
Never.
And then missing, not tracking safeties, underthrowing balls that are kind of dumb. I'm like, no. But, you know, he said something. She's like, I'm aggressive. And my biggest problem is I'm aggressive. And my whole life I've been trying to figure out how to find that fine line. And I love that. I appreciate that. I think that's the way to play. And I think that, you know, a full season is important. You remember Tom Brady, I'm going to say Thanksgiving last year. If you said, took a snapshot of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Thanksgiving, you would say, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. There's some pieces of it I like, but I'm not sure. By the end of December, you're like, this thing start to hum. I think we got to recognize what has happened with Matthew and what happened with the Rams in general. All of a sudden, OBJ shows up. Von Miller shows up. They're like not small things. And then, all you know, it's like he's had two seasons in one. So I got to give him the space to kind of find his way and kind of figure out how to marry the play calling of Sean with how Matthew plays. And I think that's the thing. I'm wondering if it hits right now, then watch out. Because the Ram team on Monday night, you know, look, the Cardinals self-imploded. But until in the first quarter of playoff football, they dominated the Cardinals in the way that makes the Cardinals realize, oh, crap, we're in trouble, we're going to panic. And then the panic came, like playoff games happen. And so if they're bullies and they can be that good, then I think all of a sudden the Rams are a little different than they were in the middle of the season, as the same thing you'd say about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year.
And by the way, Kyler Murray, Stafford, and Carson Wentz, I've never seen it. It's an epidemic this year. Quarterbacks just panicking and chucking the ball out of the end zone. I can't remember the last time I saw it. And I see it three times in a year.
I almost want to go around and have a lesson or some kind of a Zoom and say, look, it's 2 points. Okay, it's not the end of the world. Everyone freaks out. Quarterbacks freak out in the end zone for safeties. I understand why. You don't want to take two and then have to punt. It's not a good play. But come on. When you're in a tough spot, you can't make it terrible. You can't pop it up in the air. Like, that's what I said with Matthew. Like, you can't. Just take the two and move on if you get in a jam. And it seems like they feel like it's 14 points or something in safety.
Yeah. Well, Carson Wentz doubled down. He went left-handed out of the end zone. That was my favorite one of all time.
Yeah.
Hey, man, hope you feel better. Sounds like you're a little under the weather.
Voice. I don't know why. I you guys got me screaming, and now I don't know. I mean, I lost my voice.
I'm imagining it's not going to get better until Sunday, because it's not going to get any better during the game on Saturday night, I would imagine. TV.
Yeah.
Hey, have a great time. You know, we always love having you on. Love you, man. And enjoy the game Saturday night. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys as well.
Thank you, man.
All right, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
We appreciate you.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.